Hello and welcome to the second in our series here in 2 Timothy. Call it God's Church Manual because the manual tells us how things ought to be done, specifically in the local church. In our previous lesson, we've seen that in chapter 1 it tells us what to think, chapter 2 what to be, and chapter 3 what to know, and then chapter 4 what we need to do. By way of review, we said in our previous lesson that the Bible is very plain about that. We need to do our own thinking. But to do our own thinking these days is going to require thinking outside the box, and that can be very scary. Here's a little diagram that asks the question, can you connect the preachers with four straight lines? Now, it can be done, but in order to do it, we're going to have to go outside of the box. If you go outside of the box, you better be prepared to be branded. I know what I'm talking about here. I haven't lived long enough to be doing all the stupid things I've been given credit for in the last few years. It's just going to be that way. If you're going to go outside of the box, those that are in the box are going to give you a hard time. What I'm talking about, the box, let's get specific here. We're talking about fundamentalism these days. You can be a fundamentalist, and you can be in that little box, and you can be with those who have put their stamp of approval. Silence gives consent. Don't forget that. You can be with those who put their stamp of approval on Jack Hyle's heresy that said that if you think you need to repent in order to be saved, that's an enemy of soul winning. That is heresy. All right? Curtis Hudson supported him that, we saw it in our previous program. Now, if you're going to be in the box in the age of apostasy, if you're going out of that box today, oh, don't you dare say anything against my friend Jack Hyle. I remember when I, years ago, when I had to get out of the evangelical circles because of the apostasy that had come flooded in there. Well, one person said to me, if you're going to say anything negative about Billy Graham, you cannot be my friend. Now listen, I was saved in the Billy Graham meeting. I don't enjoy saying anything negative about him, but he was an apostate. He was the most influential apostate in the face of the earth. He decided to go that way. Oh, if you say anything negative about Billy Graham, you cannot be my friend. Recently, someone said to me, if you say anything negative against Jack Hyles, you cannot be my friend. It was a fundamental independent Baptist pastor that said that. Well, we're not friends anymore. We're going to have to decide whether you're going to be in the box or whether you're going to be in the Bible. And if you're going to be in the Bible, be prepared to be branded these days. Next, in verse number 6, Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift that is in thee, the gift of God which is in thee. He had the power of God to do what God put him there to do. I spent many years in my early days in my ministry trying to be like one of my fundamental heroes. One day I decided to simply be me. I made two very important decisions that day. I decided not to let any preacher force me into his mold. And I decided to smash all the molds that I have for other preachers. That was one of the greatest days I have had in my Christian life. Now, here's a picture of a mold. This mold is designed to make muffins. And my wife used to make muffins. I don't know what you put the ingredients together to make a muffin, but I know she did. And when it was done, that muffin mold was, it had a bunch of muffins in there that looked exactly the same. God doesn't want a bunch of muffin preachers these days. He wants you to be you, and he has given you the gift that you need to do the job, and what we need to do is just get doing the job, and he has given us 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus so we could figure out how to get the job done. We saw also in verse number 7, it's not a time to be timid. Apostasy equals opposition. For example, Isaiah chapter 30, that we read there in his day, this is a rebellious people, which say, speak unto us the smooth things. Don't go talking about any rough things. We want to come to church and just find out how good we are and how great it is to be a Christian. Just talk to us about the smooth things. Well, in Jeremiah, we read the prophet said, well, okay, we want the people to keep talking or to come in and listen to us talk. We want, yep, we got to have that. So the prophets prophesied falsely, and my people love to have it so. That's what God said. Now, he didn't put that in there because he wanted us to have that history. It says all things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. What we need to understand here is this is a warning from God. It's going to happen. And so be admonished. Opposition will come. We will have opposition from within the local church if we start preaching the whole counsel of God. And we'll have opposition from pastors without who will not follow God's instructions in 1st, 2nd Timothy and in the book of Titus. And so Paul said to Timothy, this is not a time to be timid, neither is it today. It requires a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And don't tell me you love your people if you don't tell them the whole truth and preach the whole counsel of God. So we have the power to handle our responsibilities. As pastors, we have all the power we need at our disposal to handle the trying circumstances that come along. Ephesians says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Colossians, we reached, we're strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. In 2 Timothy 1:7, he said to the pastor, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In verse 8, be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. But apostates, they will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So we're to have a sound mind. Verse 7, Paul mentions a sound mind. Philippians 2, he said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. When dealing with the responsibilities connected with the local church, we should not be concerned about what other preachers think, or we should not be concerned about what church members think. We just need to preach the gospel. We need to simply determine to find what is the mind of the Lord in each circumstance that we face. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. What does he want us to do in this situation? Well, he told us all about it. 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, Paul said, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Paul talked a lot about the afflictions, Acts 20 and Acts in 2 Corinthians 6, he talked about afflictions in Colossians, in 1 Thessalonians, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and in chapter 4, and in Hebrews. All through his life, he is talking about the afflictions and the reproaches that came into his life. So he said, be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. In verse 12, he said, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. All of his Jewish friends had cast him off and regarded Paul as foolish. Paul was well aware of the branding iron of his friends and the fact that they had those branding irons ready for him. Paul was willing to suffer these things in order to be faithful to his responsibilities to God. He said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul said, I know, Acts 20. Acts 24, I know. Acts 26, because I know. Acts 26, 27, I know. Romans 7, I know. Romans 14, I know. 1 Corinthians 13, I know. 2 Corinthians 9, I know. Philippians 1, 9, I know. Philippians 1, 25, I know. 2, 19, I know. Philippians 4, 12, I know. Paul says, I know what I'm talking about. And if you can just base what we're doing on the Word of God, you can say with Paul, I know. Why do you talk about this stuff? Because I know I'm right, because it's based on the Word of God. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day he said, I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. What we need to realize is that we are able to recognize truth and error. John, 1 John 4, number 6, hereby know that we have the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What we need to do is return and discern the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. He said, hold fast to the form of sound words. The form is a pattern, a set of instructions that are to be followed. We have them, as we've said many times, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Book of Titus. We got the instructions that need to be followed. He said, hold fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now, it's a package deal. If we sell the truth, we sell wisdom, instruction, and understanding with it. Read Proverbs 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Truth is very expensive. Sell it not, because if you sell it, you're going to lose wisdom, you're not getting any more instructions from God, and you're not even going to understand what's going on. We have Solomon as an example. He lost his wisdom. He says in Ecclesiastes 2:15 at the end of his life, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happened even to me. He said, how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Now, if we willingly depart from the truth, and that's what's happening in these days, and 1 Timothy 4:1 says, in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. That is simply the truth. That is what is happening. They make a decision, and they depart from the truth. But when we sell the truth, we also sell wisdom and instruction and understanding. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, said, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him. And so it's a package deal. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and when they do, they lose their wisdom concerning what is going on. It is a package deal. We lose it. God, if you're going to walk away from the truth of God, he's not going to give you instruction and wisdom in how to do things that are not right. That just makes sense, doesn't it? Well, that's it for this lesson. Be sure and be with us for lesson number 3 as we continue in God's Church Manual.